Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the podcast, Bite-Sized Blessings. This is episode 104, where I get to interview the insanely talented and also unequivocally nice Tiago Ahais. I first met this incredible songwriter performer during my internship at the Interfaith Leadership Alliance. Tiago is now the co-president, along with another podcast guest, Reverend Tiffany Curtis. I ran into him at my place of work and asked him if he'd like to be on the podcast. And because he's such a wonderful human being, he said yes. Tiago's story is fascinating. One of the stories that he tells in this episode is about how he and his brother were discovered by Sony Music. That alone is quite a magical event. At the time, Tiago and his brother could have had no idea what was coming for them. Their success, touring in Europe, and a YouTube channel with over 360,000 followers. Their music is beautiful, and at the end of this episode, the song The 17th of January is included. I'll make sure to put a link to his YouTube page under the episode's show notes. Now, Tiago did grow up in Brazil, so the album titles and song titles are indeed in Portuguese. I don't think I'm brave enough to pronounce the names on this show, but I trust you, dear listener, to click on that link and listen to Tiago and his brother's music. So now, without further ado, episode 104 of Bite-Sized Blessings.
I'm going to climb my tree and contemplate from the top. So I went up there, climbed my way up. But as I was getting to the heights there, fairly high, I stepped on a sort of a dry little twig there, and it broke. And then in a matter of like seconds, I found myself like falling headfirst, like deliberately, like literally falling headfirst in a bunch of construction stuff.
How did you feel? Were you compelled to study music, or was it kind of just something to fool around with? Was it a deep passion when you were a child? How did that evolve?
No, I never studied music. I had my mom plays the piano, so she always like tried to get my brother and I to study instruments. And we did study like instruments when we were kids. We played in school bands and things like that. But later on in high school, I realized that, you know, playing the flute wasn't exciting. I remember a particular story that sounds awful, but I'll tell it anyway. I'll count on the generosity and the mercy of the listeners. But you're a teenager and you're trying to figure out who you are, right, in the world. And in my head, it was sort of blossoming into, you know, that area of sort of looking at girls and trying to see, you know, am I going to be an insecure person? Am I going to be secure? I mean, who am I in this whole dynamic? So I was very insecure about all of it. So I went to this camp, and then I saw that around the fireplace, these two guys were playing guitar, acoustic guitar. And everybody was singing and the girls were singing. And I went back home from camp and I said, Dad, I need a guitar immediately. So he took me out and bought me like the cheapest guitar out. So I went into it for the dumbest reasons, you know, just to be seen, I guess, out of my insecurity, just to pull the attention to me, which is the opposite, I think, of where I am in life right now is music is sort of a way to serve, a way to connect with people, a way to point outwardly to others so that they can find areas of their life that they're not, you know, conscious of or sensitive to. And so, yeah, that was a full circle there. But originally that's what it was. I just picked up a little guitar, tried to play a few tunes, never studied it. I do not consider myself a musician in the sense of having artistic or being a phenomenal professional guitar player. I'm a singer-songwriter. So I write songs, I play them. And that's sort of what I do now. So years later, then we got signed. My brother and I, we had a band in Brazil. We got signed by Sony Music. We did that for several years. We toured the country several times, went to Europe once, and that was nice. And now all these years here in Santa Fe, started a solo career. So without the band anymore, and I put out a record last year. called The Trail Back, A Trilha de Volta in Portuguese. So I'm still with Sony Music, but now sort of in a solo deal. Yeah.
I'm sure when you were sitting around that fire noticing the boys playing the guitar, you never thought it would take you on this path.
No, I did not. And I mean, like, you don't think in those categories, right? It's like, okay, I'm going to pick up a guitar, maybe to get a girlfriend down the line, you know, but you don't think career, you don't think of writing songs. Like, that was not in the picture for sure. And then I think it ended up happening. I mean, I was older. I was in my mid 20s, maybe in graduate school in Michigan in the winter, writing songs by myself. And then in Brazil, it's a long story. We got signed by Sony in the most unexpected way. We didn't go after it. A friend of ours took songs to the guy at Sony, and the guy said, "Hey, we want to sign you." And he said, "Sure, whatever." I was in Michigan studying. I mean, you know how that goes. You're in a little student apartment writing songs and singing to, you know, washing machines at the washing machine room, you know, because it has nice acoustics. And then I just know that a few months later, we just started getting a bunch of emails, my brother and I, to go down to Brazil and play shows. And I was like, I think something's happened. Because this was before, like, social media, you know, was a thing, and streaming services were a thing. So we're like, this is weird. So I went down to Brazil and discovered that we had a bunch of people were listening to our album after Sony signed us and, like, put the CD all over the place. And so it was in a moment in life, which I think it needed to happen. If ever it had to happen, it wasn't a good moment in life where I wasn't taking myself as seriously as back in the day when I was trying to play guitarist to get a girlfriend, you know? So I was, I guess, more down to earth, more balanced, more conscious of the role of music. And going through so many difficult things in Michigan, in graduate school, in my marriage at the time, and writing about them. And so I just felt at that time that if songs are connecting to people in that meaningful way, I mean, what a beautiful thing. So the sense was not like vanity or pride. It was more just gratitude, you know, for being put in a position where you're able to help people. And so I'm very grateful for the whole journey.
I was going to ask, are you and your brother still working together?
No. So we had a band for several years. We put out 4 albums, one live one. I think that was the 5th one. Yeah. So a live one, big one. We ended sort of a long season of albums and tours with a live recording in São Paulo that you can find on YouTube. So if you put our band name there, Osarrais, O-S, space, A-R-R-A-I-S, which is my last name, or our last name, Viarrais, Osarrais in Portuguese, you'll find it there. Yeah, us playing for some people in São Paulo to sort of celebrate the career that we had no idea was going to happen. And that was 2018. And then we moved here, or I moved here to Santa Fe around that time. And then he was in Albuquerque, he moved to Maryland, and then we sort of took our different paths. You know, he's working in music in his context there, and then I'm writing songs here on my end. And then I just decided to go back to Nashville, where I normally go to record albums, and do a solo one. So that was last year. It went well. And I think now in March, I'll go back to Nashville to do a second one, a solo one. So yeah, to find our music, is just go to any streaming service that you like, Apple Music, Spotify. Type in my name and you'll find my music. But I don't know. I mean, I grew up asking for many miracles as a religious kid that never happened. So I have a lot of stories of miracles not happening. So there is that angle. But there is one story that I remember that went. It's funny, yeah, about miracles. That I always, I don't know why, my brain just takes me back there every time I hear the word miracle. And it's a simple little story my dad was a pastor, as I said before. I was in church and got bored. Everybody was doing whatever, singing songs to the gods. And I said, I'm going to walk outside. So I walked outside by myself. And there was some construction happening beside the church. And there was a tree I liked to climb there. I said, I'm going to go climb a tree. I was, I think, 8, something like 8 or 9. I'm going to climb my tree and contemplate from the top. So I went up there, climbed my way up. But as I was getting to the heights there, fairly high, I stepped on a sort of a dry little twig there, and it broke. And then in a matter of like seconds, I found myself like falling headfirst, like deliberately, like literally falling headfirst in a bunch of construction stuff. And this was very high, you know? So it was quick, but then it slowed down because you have time to like think, like I'm falling right now. And I don't think this is going to end well. You know, we had a guy, I thought, did we have a good run? You know, 8, 9 years old? I don't know. Could have lived a little more. You know, you're thinking as you're falling down to your demise. And then what happened was that I just stuck my foot just got stuck. And then I looked up and literally as I was coming down by some means, my foot got stuck in the middle of two little branches. And I just was literally like dangling head down. I don't know, maybe 2 feet from the metal thing that I was going to hit my head on. So I'm dangling and saying, wow, sort of like Ron Burgundy. That escalated quickly. I don't know if we can do Ron Burgundy quotes here. But anyway. So as I was dangling there, you know, I tried to, you know, get up again, got down. And in my childhood innocence, I said, oh, this is a magical, miraculous thing. Maybe the gods have a purpose for this life. But then I think by the time I was 12, that faded away. I said, oh, there's no purpose. We're all going to our deaths. And we always try to make a good life out of it. No, I'm missing. But anyway, that's sort of the story I go to think about the miraculous. And I'm grateful. I guess I was grateful. Got out of there, hugged my mom, you know. Said, what happened? I said, no, it's all good. Just hugging people right now. That I'm grateful. Just survived. But anyway, yeah, so that's a little miracle, little childhood miracle that happened.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Bite-Sized Blessings and my interview with the talented and thoughtful Tiago Ahais. As I said before, there will be a link to their music under the episode's show notes. I also need to thank the creators of the music used for this episode: Alexander Nakarada, Winnie the Moo, Frank Schroeder, Otis Galloway, and of course, Osa Ahais. For complete attribution, please see the Bite-Sized Blessings website at bitesizedblessings.com. On the website, you'll find links to books, changemakers, and music that I hope lightens and brightens your day. Thank you for listening, and here's my one request. Be like Tiago. Live for the mystery. Live in the mystery. And wake up every day excited, never knowing what could happen.